Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantilla, and today we have a special treat. My co-host, Guy Reynolds, he got to go to a college concert, and he got to record some interviews today. He said we're going to do the one with the guitarist from Apologetics, and that's apologetics.com. And they're a band that's a parody band for, they'll do silly songs. They get a secular song and they take the music and they put Christian teachings or themes to it. And I'm going to bring little guys on, I think. Yeah. Are you there?
Hello.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. This week I celebrated my 29th birthday on October 6th.
Awesome. I wish I had a sound effect that said, happy,
yeah,
happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday.
Yeah, you can't play the original happy birthday song because technically it's copyrighted. They don't like you to do that. Yeah,
unless you get, which is good.
Yeah, well, I had a good birthday. I asked for my flower testimony and stuff, and I actually went out. I was going down the street to look for pencil sharpener because somebody here wanted a pencil sharpener, and I couldn't find it. I went to different things, and there was this little 98-cent store, and I was sitting by it because I got some food I ate, and by the time I ate my food, it was closed, so I had to go way down the street. I don't have a car, so I walk, and I finally got to this, one part was a Mexican food restaurant. It was kind of like a grocery store, and I was, I gave up some gospel tracts there because for what I did is, they have those, you know, when you have little vending machines for little toys.
Oh yeah, my favorite.
I got some
of
those, and I had some gospel tracts left, and I gave some of those out. And before that, I had put some in mailboxes and stuff. So it's kind of cool that I got to do some giving out gospel tracts on my birthday. That made me happy too. So I actually give something to people on my birthday. It's that saying, the better good than receive.
Those are the best places to put them. I'm glad you, that's awesome. Glad you had a great birthday now. I don't ever ask women how old they are, so I'll let you share.
I turned 29.
29, okay. Well, I missed that. Sorry, because I try not to. Yeah, I know. I don't ask. I don't ever. I taught that at a young age because growing up with just a mom and the dad was absent, and learned to kind of respect mom and respect women that are seasoned. I put that way. I'm not going to put old in there. We'll put seasoned. So,
yeah.
Experience, so to speak, in life.
This week.
I'm sorry?
I said, what did you do this week?
Much just work, and then we had a Bible study on Monday, and we we're basically going to, in the Bible study, we our Bible study format we have is like a question and answer type stuff. And basically, we pray before we start. We get prayer requests, any new ones. We have a huge list of prayer requests, and we either add to it or keep praying about the same things, and you know, that God's will is done. We pray, and then we have question and answer format. Basically, does anyone have any questions? And
we got D-Man in the chat room too. He's back. Sorry.
We have that. We have a Bible study in question and answer format. We dig into scripture. I believe maybe tomorrow night we're going to talk about repentance, and I want to, if we have time, my friend Chan's going to call in. Me and him been kind of going back and forth doing a study on repentance, and also different views. And I know there's that big Calvinist Arminianism and Molinism debate. A lot of people haven't talked about Molinism, so I'll have Chan come on and talk about just briefly about Molinism and up to his point. We haven't really come. We've been praying about it and studying. We just started studying on it, so about repentance and whenever repentance is used, and if repentance is used for is in with salvation, is it a vehicle to get to salvation? Because obviously salvation is in the gospel, which is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So anyway, we're studying on at the moment, and may bleed into the Bible study. I thought in our Bible study we were going to go, and I think we're going to do this eventually, is basically in the night of our Bible study with, and this may give people ideas for their Bible study too, but with a simple question, like back to the basics type question, you know, something a kid would possibly ask, like, you know, who made God or something of that nature, or, you know, Adam and Eve, Cain's wife, things like that. Some of the most basic questions can be answered, and I think we should, and whether in the Bible study, you could probably talk forever on that stuff, but there are biblical answers to these questions. It's just the fact of taking the time to actually deal with them, and they're not being dealt with, because whether you know the answer to who made God or not, obviously if you're talking to a hard-hearted atheist or a hard-hearted person for that matter, they're not looking for an answer, it's looking for the next argument. But if you're looking for someone that has a genuine interest, then you can answer that question. And whether you know that answer or not, you're going to be asked it. Maybe you'll be asked it by a kid, by a young child, or by an adult for that matter. So they're still relevant, those questions, to be asked and to be answered biblically. So,
did you know that Masters in Genesis, they have like some book series that do the same as that? There's one for children. There's one, I think, for grown-ups. They're called Answers, I think.
Yeah, so I think it's not AIG. I think it's – well, you can – I always tell people if I don't know the exact website, just to Google it. You can Google Answers in Genesis, and their website will pop up the first thing. So,
yeah.
I've been listening to some different sermons this week from Alistair Begg and James McDonald. Matter of fact, I believe in the switchboard or in the file archive, we have – something from James McDonald we can play here. It's called Sin in the Mirror, and we can play that if we have time, but I know we didn't get to it last week. But
yeah.
Also, we have a couple of Paul Jack songs in the queue. Also, Chi Lynn. So we've got at least three songs we can play from artists that we've played before in the past. And now I've got the green light to do the apologetic songs. I have talked to Jay Jackson, the lead singer of Apologetics, and told him I was going to play their music on our radio show. He was more than happy to. He actually thanked me for asking, and also it's kind of spurred a thing that God's really want me to do, kind of a side note type thing for Apologetics podcast, that someone's not familiar with the band Apologetics, they can get their Apologetics news and hear some of the music to see if they like them. And once again, Apologetics is a Christian parody band. They're the only one that I know of. I'm sure there's others out there, but this band's been out for almost 20 years. And they, probably about, I'd say, 17, 18 years. And they take secular music and they Christianize it, basically put Christian lyrics in them. They put scripture in them. They tell Bible stories in them. And you can tell the lead singer, he writes all the lyrics, and he's a huge studier. He studies the word a lot. So I got to interview him. We'll get to that interview before, or we'll get the interview, that particular interview later, kind of build up to it. The only one I didn't get the interview that night was the drummer, Jimmy Tanner, and I interviewed the two guitarists, the bass player, and lead singer Jay Jackson. And I'm going to save it for a later time. I'll just interview. I'm going to possibly have one of them call in and just do an interview live on the radio one time. I'm already planning that. So, but anyway, talking about Paul Jay. Go ahead.
I also have, for later, if you want to do later, it's about half an hour, I think. It's John MacArthur, like, it's just questions and answers that people ask him, kind of like John Piper. Piper one, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
And I guess we should take a break.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
Okay, you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio with your host, Melissa Cantrella and Di Reynolds.
Sometimes life gets tiring. You work hard and put in long hours, but it just seems like you're never done. What you need is a break, a pick-me-up, a little rest along the way. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Jesus knew what it was to be exhausted after a long day. In Matthew 11, we are told that Jesus was being accused of being a glutton and a wine-bibber, that he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Then it says that the very cities where he had done most of his miracles were turning their backs on him. It must have been disappointing and tough. He was working long hours and expending himself for the people, but they were simply indifferent and critical. So Matthew tells us that Jesus simply went to his Father in prayer and refreshed himself in the Father's presence. After that, he gave an invitation for us to do the same with him. In Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that's a welcome thought indeed. There's a place to find rest in the midst of our labors. The word labor is a Greek word that means to become weary and tired, to feel fatigued. This verb comes from a noun that literally means to cut by way of reducing the strength. To be fatigued is to cut your energy by 80 or 90%. You feel tired and weary. I'm sure you've had days like I have had where you ended up being totally exhausted. Well, that's what Jesus is referring to. When the world presses in on you with tough days and long hours, when there are misunderstandings and criticisms, and you're just weary of it all, when you've labored and are heavy laden, Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, quiet times with the Lord are very refreshing, like an oasis in the midst of the desert.
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Muscle grows through resistance. If you want to grow physically, get into a swimming pool and hold a 5-gallon container filled with water at head level. To stay afloat, you'll have to kick for dear life. The key in this exercise is to take the lid off the container, turn it upside down, and let the water drain out as you kick. A great comfort is that you know as time passes, as you become tired, the weight is going to get lighter, and that knowledge will spur you on.
As you step into the waters of personal evangelism, the weight of apprehension may seem unbearable at first, but as you pour yourself out for the gospel, you'll have the knowledge that God will relieve you of the weight. Each time you exercise yourself in this, you'll strengthen yourself spiritually.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by wayofthemasterradio.com.
This is Guy Reynolds with Apologetics Podcast and Truth Be Told Radio. I'm here with
Tom Tench.
Tom Tencha, part of TNT of Apologetics, right?
Yeah, you could just call me Tench.
Tench, okay. Well, how does it feel that you're one of the newer members, I guess you'd say, of Apologetics? How long have you followed Apologetics, and how does it feel being in the band now touring with them?
Well, Apologetics is from Western PA, and I've heard of the guys over the years, and I saw them in concert a few times over the last 5 years, and then through a friend I heard that they were looking for a guitarist, so I sent an audition video and a little bit of a resume, and they gave me a call, and it's, I had kind of met the guys, you know, but I didn't really know them that well until the audition, and that was last year in November. It was in Medina, Ohio. We played, and that was kind of my first concert with the band.
So you have some new tracks. You play on the new tracks on the album. How many songs do you play on?
When I got into the group, the project was about halfway through, and so a lot of the tracks are recorded. So I got a chance to do guitar work on five of the tracks.
Awesome. Now for the live album, you're recording in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Are there going to be most of the songs that were played tonight, or is it going to be a whole new set? I mean, how many songs do y'all plan on doing there?
We're actually going to do 19 songs, and a lot of the songs that we did tonight will be on that live CD. So this is kind of like a rehearsal for us for the next couple of nights. We're going to play a lot of the new stuff that we're going to do on that live CD. So.
Okay, well, I really appreciate it, Tom, and God bless you all. We'll be praying for you all on the way out there and recording and going through the United States and stuff. You still got a lot of shows to do, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely pray for us, man. We need your prayers, and, you know, without prayer, you know, nothing happens without prayer, and God blesses those that pray, and we have a lot of great fans out there, and we just appreciate all that they do for us, and we have a great crew, and it's awesome. I've just been overwhelmed and blessed just to be a part of this. I mean, and I just appreciate the opportunity God has given me. So
awesome. Well, thank you, Tom. God bless you.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. And Melissa clicked that, and that's fine. That was fine. We're going to move on right now to actually a song. That guy that Tom is on, I believe he's playing guitar on this song. It's on their new album called Recovery. And you can go to APOLOGETIX. It's Apologetics, basically with an X instead of a C at the end of it. CS APOLOGETIX.com. You get their new CD. You can download it, or you can get it free shipping while supplies last there on Apologetics.com. If you like this song. This is a parody of Toto, the song Hold the Line. And listen to the lyrics. That's what the best part about their songs are, is they tell about Bible characters, Bible stories. If you know about the Bible character Obadiah, he wasn't a talky kind of guy. This is Obadiah by Apologetics on Truth Be Told Radio. Thank you.
the politics. Just over
that. That was funny. Sorry. That was really quick. You came in, you go, the politics. Over that.
Well, I thought you weren't funny. Talking, so I was like, I'm going
to And you said, it's just so awesome that you came in so quick. You said, that was the politics. Over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the guitarist I interviewed, Tom Tinchin, his nickname is Tinch. He because there's two Toms in the band in Apologetics, and they just joined the band not too long ago, about close to a year ago, and they call Jay Jackson calls them TNT because they don't want to get them mixed up. Their both name is Tom, so one of them's Tom Tinchin, the other one's Tom Millen, and I interviewed them both about being in the band stuff and. And what you just heard, the interview with Tom Tinch, and they call him Tinch. And he actually gave me a couple of CDs to review. I'm going to review them, and we might be able to play some of them next week. Two bands. One of them, I think, is somebody who goes to his church, and they made a CD. They have a label out. They're called About a Mile and aboutamile.com. Anybody gets to them, I'm going to listen to some of the CD this week and find out about it, find out how, solid it is and how, all that stuff, how we'll review what we can. And there's another band called Anasay, A-N-N-A-S-A-Y, Anasay. So I'm going to find out what they're about. Tom gave me those CDs, asked me if I would maybe mention them on the radio, which I have. So I'm going to check those out, those two bands. So anyway, go ahead, Melissa. I kind of jumped right in there.
Sorry, I was going to say, it appears that Guy Reynolds is our music director for Truth Be Told Radio.
I don't know about you. Yeah. Well, the thing is, my apologies, I haven't been going out and getting recordings. I've been going out passing out tracks, things like that. So I haven't got really a lot of conversations in order to get them on the radio. So that will change. I'm hoping to get some conversations in to go out as this, because we're going to start passing out the Charles Darwin books in November for that for the Living Waters. Getting the Darwin book into the colleges and stuff with the one that Ray wrote a 50-page preface for. So hoping to do that and get some good conversations there for the radio for interviews and stuff. So I apologize, I haven't had anything since July of witnessing interviews. So I've been putting different stuff on here from Ray, and I just downloaded one. I'm trying to do a witness encounter with Todd and a woman, I think it's a homosexual woman, he interviewed her, so I'm trying to get that one downloaded also. So anyway, go ahead. I'm not necessarily the music director, though. like I said, I went to see Apologetics, and I what I forgot to do was I wanted to have one of the band members do a promo. This is so and so. And I didn't do that. I was just so excited about asking him questions that I didn't get to ask him before that I was got caught up in it. So that will change, though. I will go see him again, and I'll get them to do radio promos and stuff. So.
Yeah. Tape it on your shirt. Radio ID.
Radio ID, I will, yeah. Because it's going to, like I said, this is going to spurn an Apologetics podcast, which is going to be really, going to be on blogtalkradio.com, but it's also going to be really short. It's probably going to be 15 to 30 minutes maybe, basically highlighting some of their music and some of the news, maybe any new news that's going on with the band. And I guess our sponsors are this show. My sponsors for the Apologetics podcast are Truth Be Told Radio and Truth Decay Radio, my show I do on Monday nights, more of a teaching type thing. Join us, by the way, I'll throw a shameless plug in there. Join us tomorrow night. Finally going to start the evidence series from Chan Arnett's got an evidence series, and finally going to start that tomorrow night, and Lord willing, and Lord had other plans last week, so we moved on to something else that's kind of temporary, but hopefully we're going to start that tomorrow night. And the first first part of the series is on the existence of Jesus and how he was historically, he's an historic figure that he actually existed. That's one of the things that a lot of atheists and people who, you know, downplay the Bible, they'll say. It's one of the things they'll say is he didn't even exist. And he's going to show you outside of the Bible how Jesus, how he did exist and how he is recognized by non-Christians and Christians alike. So join us tomorrow night, 5:30. I'm on Eastern Standard Time, so it's 5:30 to 6:30. I guess it would be 2:30 to 3:30 tomorrow, Pacific Standard Time. And the show is called Truth Decay.
Yeah, I think it's funny and cool that God helped use me to get some spinoffs. The Truth Decay,
yeah.
And the Project Radio.
I mean, like I said, we want to pray God's will into everything we do in our lives, and for that matter, for things like this that happen. And, you know, we thank other ministries that if it wasn't for these other ministries like Living Waters and WretchedRadio.com and Last Words Radio, I listen to them, and I throw some shout-outs to Marcus Pittman's ministry, Transplant Ministries, and Operation 513. So all these radio shows, and of course, Ambassadors Alliance with Tony Maiano, I get his blog and everything. If it wasn't for all of them and what they continue to do for the Lord to inspire and encourage us Christians, then I'm just so glad God uses those vessels and they're out there to encourage us and to keep us. Now, obviously, God is the one in control of all this, and we want his will to be done in everything. And he uses people like that I just named, like Ray Comfort and Kirk and Cameron and Todd Friel, and he uses all those people for his glory, and we see their motives behind it, and God gets glorified through all of it. And that's what our main point, one of our main thing of doing this radio show is, I know Melissa started it, and she wanted a co-host, and I prayed about it and quickly come to the decisions that I want to give God the maximum glory in my life that I can. And if I can help in some way in spreading the gospel, which I love to do, and it's a passion, and God's wrought in me, so I can't give anybody any credit, but God for putting that passion in my heart, and as well as Melissa. I can speak for her in this. I know she has a passion for the lost, and I know God gets the glory in every bit of it, and that's our main thing, is we want to be, you know, correct in what we're putting on and we're teaching, and we know that it's a big responsibility, no matter how many people listen or don't listen, but God takes care of that. Even if it's one person listening, two people, we want to edify and encourage the saints. We want to encourage the saved people, and preach the gospel to people that may stumble upon this podcast or the radio on Blog Talk. So God bless you, Melissa. Thank you for doing this, for starting this. And it spinned off with my show, Truth Decay, and the Apologetics podcast that I'm going to be doing, and anything else that might come on. So this is a great opportunity. It's a true blessing for me to take part in it. So thank you for listening to God in that and letting him work through you and you serving him.
You're welcome. I'm also, like, glory to God. I'm just glad that he even provided this format, Blog Talk Radio. If I didn't have this, I probably couldn't have a radio show. And it's just so cool that anybody could do it for free. And all you have to do is sign up for it, all you have to really have is a telephone, and either cell phone or razor phone, and call up into it. I mean, it's cool to actually have all the other files and stuff to play, but really, if somebody just wanted to do a basic one, they could use a phone. And before that, would have been possible because usually you'd have to have your own radio station, or even if you had another thing that was supposed to be an internet radio station, you would have to pay for it. And so I'm thankful to God, and he also gave me this love of radio early in my life. There was a radio station, there was a children's one called Radio Oz AAHS, and just when I heard them on there, the DJs, and I even got to talk to the DJs, it made me want to do radio when I was older. And actually, it was funny because one of my main dreams was to be a movie director because I like Steven Spielberg. But what happened is I do have mental illness, in case somebody don't know. I take medication so I stay stable. I have schizophrenia and obsessive compulsive disorder. But what happened is because it got too stressful for me even to do like a regular job. So I wanted to be a movie director, but if I was to be a movie director, it'd be too hard, and it's just a lot of stress, I know, for even people who are in it. So I still had the love of radio, so that's what made me want to do radio again. And I had, you may have heard of Studios College from, like, Tony Miano's show and stuff, because they witnessed it. I used to go to Studios College, and I used to do a radio program there because they actually do different formats on their internet station. And part of it was playing Christian music and kids' music at the same time because of the more love from kids' music early on from that radio station, Cover Yours. And so it was funny. It was called Imagination Celebration Variety Show because I actually did get to interview some people from one, I don't know if people know him, but like there's one named Joey Martels and Craig Tomlin, he's actually a Jewish guy, and he played back then, he had his music, and then he was impressed because one time, there's this one song that he has that says, "There's a time for everything under the sun," and I said, "That's from Ecclesiastes," and he was surprised that I knew it. He was impressed that I knew that, and I was like, "Well, yeah, because it's in the Bible. I read the Bible, so I remembered that." And So that was just neat, the way that came full circle and came back to radio and I'm back to radio. I actually do want to do that radio station again too, at, if I can, at 3 o'clock, but it's good to have this one to be able to talk. So thanks to God, thanks to Black Talk Radio for even having this format. And thank you for anybody who listens or will listen. If you like it, tell your friends. In case you don't know, maybe your first time listener now, we play Christian things like clips like about witnessing and also teaching Bible, especially what they call is exegetical, I think, when it's like verse by verse and telling what the Bible means. And we have, and sometimes we have music. We're not mainly a music thing, but we like music, like apologetics. That's apologetics with the X at the end. And Shylin, and even one time I played some songs from an artist I like, Avia Cohen. He's a Jewish convert to Christianity. And that's AviaCohen. And I think I talked long enough, so I guess we'll take a break. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Muscle grows through resistance. If you want to grow physically, get into a swimming pool and hold a 5-gallon container filled with water at head level. To stay afloat, you'll have to kick for dear life. The key in this exercise is to take the lid off the container, turn it upside down, and let the water drain out as you kick. A great comfort is that you know, as time passes, as you become tired, the weight is going to get lighter, and that knowledge will spur you on.
As you step into the waters of personal evangelism, the weight of apprehension may seem unbearable at first, but as you pour yourself out for the gospel, you'll have the knowledge that God will relieve you of the weight. Each time you exercise yourself in this, you'll strengthen yourself spiritually.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
I learned a lot from my dad. He was a good father. But it was his integrity as a man of God that made such an impression upon me. Dad was my role model and mentor. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In a fuller sense, Jesus is a role model and mentor for every believer. He is the supreme example on how to live life to the glory of God. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29, he extends an invitation to us in this regard. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." The word learn is the word that describes the activity of a student. It means to find out, to strive for understanding. Now, most translations of this verse say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." But the Greek text literally says, "and learn from me." I was a gymnast in college, and later, when I was a youth pastor, I coached our local high school gymnastic team. Often I would tell the kids how to do a particular gymnastic move, and they would learn from me. But sometimes I would actually demonstrate the move and say to them, "Now, do it just like I did it," and they would learn by my example. Well, Christ tells us that we need to be meek and lowly in heart if we want to find rest, and that's what we learn from Him. But when we watch Him and see that that is exactly what He did, we see that He was meek and lowly in heart, and so we also learn from His example. So, when we yoke up with Christ in the same harness, that's what we learn about life. We learn how to be meek and lowly and find rest for our souls. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, spend time with Jesus, and you'll learn a lot about life.
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
It's like there's no one I can really trust. I just feel alone.
You probably already know what I'm going to say. There is someone you can trust 100% of the time. That someone is Jesus. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Jesus knows what you need and what is best for you. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That with all your heart part is the answer. Can you do it? It sounds hard, I know, but you'll never know God's complete will without totally trusting Him. God wants you to discover and listen to the wisdom of His Word. You do that by reading it regularly so that it becomes a part of who you are. God and His Word are the best resources you have. Take advantage of it. This is Elizabeth George.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cancella, and my co-host is Guy Reynolds, and he's on the line too. And earlier we had an interview from the he's a guitar from apologetics.com. I mean, apologetics music, but that's their website. what would you like to play next, guys?
We could probably play the Shy Lynn song. We'll save the Apologetics song for later, but I've been waiting 2 weeks to play this one. It's an awesome song. It's called Mission Accomplished. And once again, I didn't look to find out about Shy Lynn or where his website's at, but you could probably Google Shy Lynn, and I will tell you, spelling his name, S-H-I-A, and then L-I-N-N-E. You can Google that there, and if you're wondering what the other two numbers, I've got two people listening to the radio show right now, by the way.
Yes.
One of them is my daughter, and I'm going to have her read the gospel on live on air in a few minutes. But right now we're going to play this song. And it's my it's called Mission Accomplished by Shy Lynn. I believe it's on his new album. So check it out. And Google Shy Lynn. I'll have his website by the end of the song, probably. So this song is called Mission Accomplished. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
One, two, three.
One, two. One, two, one, two. Okay. We on? All right. Yeah.
Here's a controversial subject that tends to divide. For years it's had Christians lining up on both sides. By God's grace, I'll address this without pride. The question concerns those for whom Christ died. Was he trying to save everybody worldwide? Was he trying to make the entire world his bride? Does this man's unbelief keep the Savior's hands tied? Biblically, each of these must be denied. It's true Jesus gave up his life for his bride, but his bride is the elect to whom his death is applied. If on judgment day you see that you can't hide, because of your sin, God's wrath on you abides. And hell is the place you eternally reside. That means your wrath from God hasn't been satisfied. But we believe his mission was accomplished when he died. But how the cross relates to those in hell? Well, they be saying, that's what they be saying. Cats be saying that he tried. But I'm saying, did he try and fail, or did he succeed? Is there going to be one drop of the Savior's blood in vain? Nah, perish the thought. The Lamb will receive the reward for his suffering. The triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, three and yet one, working as a unit to get things done. Our salvation began in eternity past. God certainly has to bring all his purpose to pass. A triune, eternal bond, no one could ever sever. When it comes to the church, keep how they work together. The Father foreknew first, the Son came to earth to die. The Holy Spirit gives the new birth. The Father elects them, the Son pays their debt and protects them. The Spirit is the one who resurrects them. The Father chooses them, the Son gets bruised for them. The Spirit renews them and produces fruit in them. Everybody's not elect, the Father decides. And it's only the elect in whom the Spirit resides. The Father and the Spirit, completely unified. But when it comes to Christ and those in hell, well, they be saying, so if we can agree that the election of the Father is not universal and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit is not universal, why would the atonement of the Son be universal? That would put the persons of the Trinity completely at odds with one another. But the triune God is completely unified. My third and final verse, here's the situation. Just a couple more things for your consideration. If saving everybody was why Christ came in history, with so many in hell, we have to say he fell miserably. So many think he only came to make it possible. Let's follow this solution to a conclusion that's logical. What about those who were already in the grave? The Old Testament wicked, condemned as depraved. Did he die for them? Come on, behave. But worst of all, you're saying the cross by itself doesn't save. That we must do something to give the cross its power. That means at the end of the day, the glory's ours. That man's sinner thinking is not recommended. The cross will save all for whom it was intended. Because to the elect, God's wrath was satisfied. But still, when it comes to those in hell, well, they be saying, look, at the end of the day, this is about giving God the maximum amount of glory. You know what I'm saying? We proclaim a cross that actually saves, not makes salvation possible, but actually saves. Matthew 1:21. His name should be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Not might save them, not try to save, but no, he will actually save them. It's a definite atonement. And yo, this ain't controversy for the sake of controversy or theological nitpicking. Salvation is of the Lord. Him belongs all the glory. Only day of glory. But let's get into the text. See what the scriptures have to say about it. Lord, thank you for the cross. Word up.
Oh, that was frightening. And that song had me moving. I like the beat. And it's got a good message. I know it's like reading people like who like pick their music. They say they like it for what it sounds like. And that one sounded good and it had a good message, so congratulations to Chai Lim. And like the title says, mission accomplished. I like the way I did that.
Yeah. That was a good song. I'm glad I waited 2 weeks to go on. One thing I found on Shylan was his MySpace page. It's www.myspace.com/Shylan, Shailinne.
And
took a while to load. It's there. It took a while to load, but it's on there now. You can hear a little excerpts from his song. There's a little player on there. See upcoming shows. I believe he's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania tonight. Speaking of shows and speaking of bands, Apologetics, what I talked about when I interviewed Tom Tension and the other members was the live album they're recording tonight in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, so let's be in prayer for that album. By the way, Apologetics in their concerts they do a gospel presentation, and usually by Jay Jackson in the middle of the concert, and they make sure they do that. They get the message of the gospel out during the concert. They don't just play music, and I've heard Shaolin does the same thing, not only in his music, but in his, not just in his songs, but I've heard that in his concerts he does the same thing. So what's the chances that both of the artists we played tonight are in Pennsylvania tonight? And on a sports front, that the Steelers won again today. So I'm a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So
yeah, I see your tweets about, I think, football this
Yeah, everyone's giving me now I will give props to the Bengals fans. The Bengals are 5-1, and they're in first place in the division. The Steelers seem to have a Super Bowl hangover because, in the sense of winning, because they won the Super Bowl. I think they just let their foot off the gas a little bit. So anyway, wow, you get everything here. We get music, we get sports, we get ministry and all that stuff.
Yes, alrighty.
Right, didn't think I was going to be talking about the Steelers today, but...
Actually, I didn't even say go Steelers. This much variety. When I first started, I thought I was mostly just going to be clips.
Yeah, I like to actually get on Shaolin and get some of his lyrics and maybe speak some of his lyrics. He's got a, looks like, a website on here called lyricaltheology.com. I haven't went to the site, but I'm on his MySpace page and checking that out. So check out Shaolin. There's a lot of other great Christian rappers, too. One of them we had on the show last week, Preston Kegley. He was in Louisiana a couple days ago. So continue to be in prayer for Preston. He's from Anderson, Indiana, which I'm going to be in Anderson, Indiana Friday and Saturday of next week doing the puppet festival. They're having a puppet festival. As I stated last week and the week before, that our children's ministry started a puppet team to go out, not just to reach out to children, but to reach out to, like, go to retirement homes and different places like that they like puppets also, to spread the gospel that way. So just that avenue God's gotten me and my oldest daughter, Samantha, on. So I'm hoping that God uses that for his glory. And I'll bring my microphone and my recorder and get some interviews, hopefully with some people at the Puppet Festival, which would be pretty cool. That would be another kind of avenue we can go down and talk about the type of ministries we do. Matter of fact, I can have our children's pastor on. He is actually a puppet director. He also teaches advanced puppetry. So you could probably call him a puppet master, I guess you'd say. They would call him that. But really, there's different levels of it. Now, I'm just finding out more about it as I go along. And gospel clowning, I'm learning a lot about, too. So whether it's not just clowning around, there's a lot more to it.
Well, like I mentioned before, I did some balloon twisting, and you're learning balloon twisting, too.
Yeah, I'm learning that. I'm gonna, matter of fact, I believe I'm doing a fall festival locally for our local Head Start kids, and I'll be dressing up as a clown, which that's the funnest part for me. When I was, I kind of grew up in the wrong era. I watched Jerry Lewis movies, and ever since I seen a movie Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin was in called Three Ring Circus, Jerry Lewis was a clown, or he wanted to be. That was his life dream, to be a clown. And the clown's name was Jericho. And from that point on, I wanted to be a clown in my life. And I was like, wow, I would love to do it in a circus.
And
so,
a biblical name, too.
It is a biblical name, Jericho. And the irony of it is, Paul Jake, it reminds me of a song that Paul Jake has called Jericho. So.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention, YouTube pages. D-Man is a listener we have. It's D-M-A-N. And then he has one on YouTube. His username is D-Man for Christ, D-M-A-N-N, the number 4, and then Christ, like Jesus Christ. And then he has a ministry page that has multi-ministries doing different videos called Sharing Christ Online, and that's on, you can find those on YouTube. I just wanted to mention that, sorry, because I said to mention.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually asked him that question and didn't get back in the chat room. I was busy going to Shylin's website and all that stuff to find out. So, yeah, I'm glad we got to mention that. Yeah, I was going to jump on his YouTube page. I might have done it before. It looks like he's got two YouTube pages, Sharing Christ Online, like you said,
yeah,
and D-Man Number 4 Christ. So you're welcome. Very welcome, D-Man. I'm actually going to check out your YouTube page tonight. I'm actually forming a YouTube page. I'm just getting into it. I've got a few videos on there, two of ones that I recorded. Recorded two songs from Apologetics that they did live, and one of them was kind of an
cool.
And it seems like on this live album that Apologetics are doing, there's going to be a lot more evangelistic type songs on it. One of them is called that I got on my YouTube page. I'll share that in a bit, but it's called "The Boys Ain't Backing Down," and it talked about after Christ rose from the dead, how a lot of the Pharisees and the rulers thought that they would scatter, so the apostles and everything would keep quiet. They wouldn't say anything else, but they got bolder. And that's what the song's about, and it's a parody of "The Boys Are Back in Town."
That's what I was just saying.
And it's called "The Boys Ain't Backing Down," so it's going to be on their new live album. So, yeah, they're recording that live album tonight, and I think there's going to be a DVD also. So be sure to... And they had informed me that a live album's easier to come out than a new one. It took them over a year to lay down tracks and lyrics and everything for this new album called Recovery. So
you just play it live and record it.
Yeah, it's a lot easier for them to get the live album out. So that's basically what their new album's going to be. They've only had one other live album out. So, but according to the lead singer Jay Jackson, he's written so many songs. There's just there's tons of songs, because basically you're using secular music, the music, you're using the secular music, but he's, I mean, God has just given him so much of, just so many lyrics put on top of these songs, that he is just overloaded with lyrics to put with songs. He's got so many, so. Z-Man said, "Praying in the boys' room." That would have been a good one to probably send him. He's a real down-to-earth guy, so, yeah, instead of smoking, that'd be good.
Prolific.
Yeah, I mean, he likes to tell, that'd be good, D-Man, to send him into that, but I bet he's probably got tons of people probably sending him stuff also, suggestions for songs and everything like that, I think it takes a special talent to do that, to write a parody. There's some of their songs that are serious songs. I mean, but they have some kind of parody to them, but they've got scripture in them. You can look up the scripture and follow along with the song, and that's what's cool about their particular music is it is Christ-centered, and they don't do anything outside of that. So, but anyway.
Yeah, I was saying prolific. It means that they like you said, they write a lot. Prolific means when you do a lot of work, one kind of work. Or if you're a writer, you write a lot. If you're a musician, you make a lot. I got a funny quote from someone else who does parody, Weird Al Yankovic. One time, I remember him saying, somebody says, why don't you make like original songs? And he's like, or how many original songs? And then he's like, they're all original songs, because technically, like, they're making a different song, even though they're using the same music. They're still making a different song. So he said, like, they're all original songs.
Yeah, they are. And Weird Al knows of Apologetics. He's actually a fan of Apologetics.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he enjoys what they do. And there's a lot of people that, the thing about Apologetics is that they made sure they put their families in front of anything in their ministry. They just do this ministry on the weekends. They tour on Fridays, Saturdays, and sometimes Sundays. And if they're traveling on the way back, they'll catch a concert or do a concert on Sunday or something. But mostly, they have, I mean, some of them have jobs. A lot of them have jobs that they do, either computer programming or something of that nature. But that's not their main mode, but they've been doing it for 19 years. Well, they've had record companies coming to them wanting them to sign on, but they will not sign on as a record company because they don't want to be controlled by them. They want to do the ministry that God's called them to do and without any hang-ups, without any tie-ins, and they've done it successfully, I believe, that for about 18 years. So.
Yeah, D-Man said, when you rewrite the lyrics, you recreate it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you want to do next? Take a break or play something?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break and just maybe play a Piper thing or a Way of the Master minute and take a couple minutes and get ready. My daughter's on the line. She's ready to read.
What's her name? Are you there?
Hello? I'm sorry. Yeah,
oh,
go ahead.
I've been hearing you for a while. I said, what's her name?
Her name's Taylor.
Taylor. Okay, gonna hear it from Taylor in a little bit. And this is Truthy Told Radio, and we're taking a break.
Have you ever had cramps? You know, the kind that double you over with pain? Not a pleasant experience, is it? Well, that's when you really thank the Lord for Gas X or Digel. Oh, what a relief it is. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In the 23rd Psalm, we are told that the shepherd prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, right in the midst of things that could hurt us, he makes provision for our need. The word for enemies is actually the participle form of a Hebrew verb that means to bind, to press in, to enclose or compress. Literally, it means to cramp, as when you're bound up with pain. It's the idea of an enemy laying siege to your property, enclosing you and pressing you in so that you're cramped and limited in what you can do. Philip Keller illustrates this situation by saying, another task the attentive shepherd takes on in the summer is to keep an eye out for predators. He will look for signs and spoor of wolves, coyotes, cougars, and bears. Often what actually happens is that these crafty ones are up on the rim rock watching every movement the sheep make, hoping for a chance to make a swift sneaking attack. Only the alertness of the sheepman who tends his flock on the tableland in full view of possible enemies can prevent them from falling prey to attack. Now our Lord watches over us in the midst of our enemies. There are not only the natural dangers, but we are also facing spiritual dangers. Satan's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Yet as we depend upon the Lord, he surrounds us with his protection and prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, don't go wandering off now. The enemy loves stragglers.
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Are you praying for revival? Many are. They aren't seeking the lost, they instead see revival as a sovereign move of God. In doing so, they're handing the job of evangelism back to heaven. In essence, they're saying, we know that you've commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature, but we'll stay here and pray. Your word says, how will they hear without a preacher, but we'll stay here and pray.
You've told us that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, but we will stay here and pray, because it sure is easier to talk to God about men rather than to talk to men about God. Don't be like that. If we love Him, we will keep His commandments. And one of His commandments is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Was it possible?
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
What did you do in your home when you were raising your kids to teach them the importance of giving tithes and offerings? Well, I'm still raising a kid. So we can talk about the present as well as the past. We began to give to our children allowances. How early? I can't remember how early. Very early. three, four, maybe. As soon as they knew what money was, and as soon as they could have an envelope and so on, we gave them allowances, $1, $2, $3 a week. And the point was simply to begin to teach how to use money. What is money? And we divided three envelopes. One, long-term use. Two, short-term use. And three, God or church. And the long-term use was to teach them that you need to plan for college and car and things like that. And the short-term is there's some gum you'd like to buy or candy or a shirt, and you need to save up for that. And when you get enough money, it's yours. You can, you know, if it's not sin, buy what you want. And the third was off the top comes at least 10%. More if you want. And interesting, our kids were pretty lavish toward the church because they didn't think too much. All their needs were met, you know, by us. So they just, they were real generous givers. So that was the way we did. We gave them allowance. And as they get older, of course, you begin to figure out that allowance and whether they're going to buy their own clothes, and then you give them a lot of allowance, or you're going to buy their clothes and the allowance is still sort of symbolic or not. Then you may start paying them for things, you know, you cut the grass, get $5 or whatever. So that would be the main thing. Intentionally teach the children the bigger picture about money. This is God's money. God should get the first fruits from it, and then the rest, spend it for His glory. All of it's God's. All of it's God's. And these expenditures here should please Him and be for His glory.
John Piper talked about money, and you're saying the truth be told, radio. And Guy, are you ready with your daughter?
Yes, yeah, she's actually on the home phone, so she'll be online. I'm going to go ahead and click her off of mute, and I'm going to ask her, you know, where the gospel is in the Bible. And I'm going to ask her to read it. I believe she's got it bookmarked. So, everyone, it's the top of the hour, so open your Bibles. Get your Bibles out. But you didn't think you'd listen to radio asking to get your Bibles out. So, this is Bible reading time. Get your Bibles out.
If you can't get your Bible in time, you could also go, because you're listening on the Internet, BibleGateway.com is a good one to have different versions of the Bible. What version are you going to be using?
She'll be reading from the NASB. I got a John MacArthur Bible, NASB.
The American Standard Bible.
The American Standard Bible. So, Taylor, are you there?
Yeah.
Say it again. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Get a little bit louder, honey.
Just a little bit louder if you can. You're talking live on the radio.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I want to ask you, where is the gospel? Somebody ask you where the gospel is in the Bible. Where is it at?
1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4.
Awesome. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, you heard. Go to your Bibles right now. And Taylor, go ahead and begin reading anytime you want.
Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to also, you stand. Wait. Which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, hon. I appreciate it. I'm going to put you back on mute, okay?
Okay.
Say bye to Melissa.
Bye, Melissa.
Hi.
All right, that was 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And my daughter reading it very nervous. She was very nervous, so.
She's so cute.
She's read that one, particular one, many times. Basically, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And anyone asks you where it's at in the Bible, once again, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Obviously, it is all over the Bible. I mean, from the Old Testament, the Gospels there, but it's clearly as clear as a bell. It's there, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. So, we also can move on to the project. Now we have our Bibles open, we can move on to the Project Ezra reading of this week, and it's Nehemiah. It's actually Ezra reading the law. It's in Nehemiah chapter 8. And it's Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, I believe. I was on the Project Ezra website. And yes, Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 through 8, actually, 1 through 8. I'll begin reading there. Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 through 8. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women and those who can understand. And all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Matthiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and Pedadiah, Mishael, Makachialah, Hashum, Ashbandana, Zechariah, and Meshluhum on his left hand. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, when they bowed low and worshiped the Lord. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord, and their faces to the ground. Also, Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Yamin, Akub, Messiah, Hodiah, Mahaseah, Kelitha, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Eliah, the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. The Levites who taught the people said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. I actually continued reading on to verse 9, which was so powerful. The last part of it, it says, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Amazing. You don't see that in many churches these days. When the Bible is opened up, hardly anyone stands unless they're told told to, or by the pastor, or suggested to by the pastor if they can stand, to stand. And I see very few pastors doing that, standing in the honor of reading of God's word. Not just that, but this was the holy law that was given by God to Moses that they opened up and read every day. So there's lots of esteeming of the Word of God there by Ezra and everyone. And of course, we don't get that today. I'm sure. I don't know how long ago, but I'm sure that people do that. At this point, some churches do have them stand in reverence of the Word of God, but most of the majority, they just sit. And for that matter, they don't even bring their Bible sometimes to churches, which is very sad. Not bringing your Bible to church, what are you there for, is what I want to know. What are you there for? You're there to get fed. Why not have your plate in front of you? Be ready to be fed. You have the Word of God in your hand, ready to read and go through. And that's also, I listened to a podcast not too long ago on Christian Worldview Network about this, about the importance of the expositing Scripture and the fact of what's a good Bible preacher to do, to exposit the Scripture or go all topical, mid-topic sermons. But I lean more to expositing Scripture, and you know, some pastors may disagree and they say, well, can't exposit the Scripture all the time because people are not that well learned. Well, if they're Christians, they should be at least learning and wanting to learn the Word of God. But if they're false converts, all you're doing is trying to teach a goat to be a sheep. So that's understandable. If a goat's trying to be a sheep and you're trying to teach them to do that and they're not even regenerated yet. But those that are regenerated need fed. I say that if you're not in a Bible-believing church, not that have a high view of Scripture and that go through it verse by verse and teach from it most of the time, then please find one of those. I believe I've read before, you can go to gty.org and it has when to leave a church and what to find in a good church. You can go to gty.org and search that, when to leave a church, and it's pretty solid stuff there on doctrinal issues and the fact of compromising truth, and is the Word of God preached faithfully. So, anyway, that was the Project Ezra reading of the week. I want to encourage those who do open-air preaching or that just do public reading of Scripture to get out there and open that Bible anywhere where there's people, even if there's one person. Doesn't matter, one person, two people, three people, doesn't matter, or the crowd. You can get out there and preach the Word of God and read Scripture. You can go out in twos, threes, read Scripture aloud. If you don't want to preach the gospel, you have another person get up and preach the gospel. But if you feel led to, by all means, share the law and the gospel from that point on. So we want to, that's what Project Ezra is. Goal is dedicated to encourage, equipping, and mobilizing born-again followers of Christ from around the world to read the Word of God in public. It's so needed. And I agree with a lot of theologians at this time. There will be a time, guaranteed, where it's going to be illegal to do so. I just I got Tony Maiano. He does it. I get his Twitter tweets, and he had talked about a person in Somalia that got let me read that real quick, and because it's very important. Family prayer for the persecuted church focused on our brethren in Somalia. A young lady named Miriam was martyred for having a Bible. You know what, people, Americans, it's coming. It's coming. It's going to be illegal to read the Bible. And meanwhile, the average family, according to the Barna research, the average family owns 9 Bibles and it sits on their shelf gathering dust. If you've ever had a, please, if you haven't had a desire to read the Word of God, examine yourself, see if you're saved. 2 Corinthians 13:5 challenges us to do that. Test yourself, or are you afraid you're going to pass the test or not? So I want to encourage you. Get out there, read the Bible in public. Read the Bible in your own time. Have quiet time. Be still and know that He is God. I think that's Psalm 46:6, or maybe it's Psalm 46 that says that. Be still and get some time before God. Pray before you go out. This is sorely needed. Public reading of Scripture. The Word of God needs to get out there before it's too late. And we'll be martyred for our faith for even owning a Bible, much less reading it in public. So Let's get out there and do it while we can, please. I just want to encourage everyone to do that.
And you talked about earlier about standing up literally for the Word of God, like as a reverence. I think it also be a good idea to keep people engaged, like keep them alert, like, okay, stand up so you can listen to it. Just sitting down, relaxing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think I discussed that today in the children's ministry real quick, that the lackluster worship, and I said, you know what, you go to a football game, you go to a sporting event or a concert of an artist you like, and you can sit there, and you're screaming, and you're losing your voice at that concert.
Yeah.
Will you give that same respect to God in His house? In worship, lifting up your voice, losing your voice, praising, having your hands go so numb that you've had them up in the air so long, praising God for so long. So can you not give God that same respect in worship and in everything you do? I mean, we all have private worship times and maybe private reading times of the Bible, but, are you singing to an audience of one? And I pray that you are. And if you are, it shouldn't matter what anyone else thinks around you, no matter who is with you or who is at where you're at in the church, whether you're in the back row, middle row, or the front row. If they're worshiping and praising the one true God and Jesus Christ, lifting up His name, then there should be nothing, I mean nothing, stopping you from lifting up your hands and worshiping Him. There's nothing. Just think about it. The angels are praising God 24/7. And the attitude you could probably have for someone not doing is, oh, they're the angels and they do that. No, you're going to be doing that for eternity if you get to heaven. You know what I'm saying? It's not even, how do you know you're saved for that matter if you don't have a desire to worship and praise God, a desire to read the Word of God, a desire to be around other Christians and to love genuinely other Christians and to love your enemies for that matter. I mean, test yourself, see if you're a Christian. I mean, that's the thing. Jesus made it clear many will say to Him, Lord, Lord, on that day. And He will say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Not that He once knew you and quickly didn't. No, He never knew you. So examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. Examine your motive for coming to Christ. Did you see the full gravity of your sin? Did you find out that you've broken every law that God has put out and that you've offended a holy and just God? Examine yourself to see that you just may be a false convert. I say that in love. I say that because I care about anyone listening to this as a person, and I don't want them to be on that day saying, Lord, Lord, that I'm not lift your name up in church, that I'm not mentioning you to the elders, that I'm not mentioning you to the children or the youth ministry. Because my Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 7 that many will go to destruction. And few find the right way in. Few. Are you that few? Please examine yourself. You don't want to be wrong, especially about this particular thing in your life. You do not want to be wrong. That's the one thing I have to do every single day. I examine myself, see if I'm in the faith. And as we're studying that repentance, I pray that my friend Chan can call. And it's perfect time, in the sense of talking about repentance, that it's a verb. And a lot of uses, that repentance, the word repentance, is a verb. It denotes action. And repentance is like your faith. Faithing, that's what it's really called. That's what the word, when it's used, when you see the word faith in the New Testament, it's used as a verb. And it's like when you tithe, you're tithing, you're faithing. And it's an action that you need to continue doing. And it's the same way with repentance. Your evidence that you are saved is that you continue in that spirit of repentance. Obviously, if you've repented, turned from your sins, put your full trust in Jesus Christ, you've done that for your past, present, future sins. But the evidence of that, the fruit of that saving grace, of that salvation, is you continue to repent to this day of things you're doing to break God's law to this day. And I think a humble servant of Christ would yield to that and yield to God's Spirit in that. So,
yeah, it's funny, like you said, with sports teams or a band, for them. And then when something like Christian, they're like, oh, you're so weird or something to do that, or maybe you're crazy or something. And even my dad, if he's not even Christian, even my dad noticed that somebody said, like, somebody was saying, and he was thinking about too, he's like, don't worship, like, these worship a pop idol, to worship whatever sports, but they won't worship the God, like, basically the God that made them.
Yeah, that's so true, and that's, I'll go ahead and tell you, and you know, I know you've, it's, and I think, you know, that we ought to have a week with, speaking of that, a testimony of someone, you know, because I was one of those. I mean, I had put, you know, this football, sports, music, for that matter, secular music, just in front of everything in my life, and I created an idol for that. So I know that from experience that you can do that. It's possible to put that as an idol into. And a lot of people think, well, I'm not worshiping this sports team, or I'm not worshiping this person. Examine your motives for even liking them. What's their, what are they overall projecting? What's their message? And I had to look at all the secular bands that I was listening to. What's their overall message? What are they trying to, what is, are they trying to just to get success and just to sing about whatever? Or do you see that they're actually lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and they're praising God in their music? And obviously, in a secular song, they're not doing that. So you got to examine the motive. Is it about sex, drugs, rock and roll, losing a loved one, and what's it about? Do they have answers in those? Are they lifting God's name? And I think any song that we have, I do agree with Todd Friel on that, and Wretched Radio, is that we need to have songs and listen, be listening to songs to lift up God's name, to lift up and give Him glory. So if we're not listening to that, then what are we listening to and why? God provided that. He provided certain music so we can lift His name up and praise Him. I mean, the most of the Psalms that are written are mostly done to music, whether it by a harp or a lyre. So most of those were psalms and praises to God. So I can only think of a couple of artists at this moment that actually sing the psalms and sing songs like that, Chris Tomlin and Matt Redman. There's probably more artists I'm not mentioning. I apologize if I'm not, but just off the top of my head, those two artists come to mind. And you know, I'm just suggesting music like that. But, you know, also listen to Christian rock, too. But as long as it's praising God and lifting up His name, that's what I want to listen to now. God did that in my heart. I haven't at all. I've done nothing of it. He's put that desire in my heart. So I do nothing of my own at all, because if it was me, I'd go right back to whatever I was listening to before that wasn't God-honoring. God has put that in my heart. He's changed my heart for that. So I just pray that anyone that's listening, it's listening to secular music, and they don't understand exactly what it's about and what they're talking about in the look at the lyrics, look at the modem of the band, and if they're not praising God, find out what they're singing about. And chances are it's not going to be something very good at all. So we want to be listening to stuff that's God-honoring. And cause if we're listening to stuff that's not God-honoring, that's going to, whether we think it or not, that's going to seep into our soul. It's going to seep in there. As I've said before, a thought becomes a desire, becomes an action, becomes a pattern. Anything, whether you listen to or do, you have a thought that comes in your mind, that thought becomes a desire. Like if you have a thought, well, I like to listen to this band, and you listen to them, and then that becomes your desire. Wow, I think I want to listen to more of this band. I know they don't sing about God, but let's just go with that. Then that desire becomes an action. You take action, you start listening to them, then that action becomes a pattern in your life, and it seeps into your heart. What are you letting in your heart? The Bible says in Proverbs that to guard your heart, it's the wellspring of life, because everything comes from your motivations of your heart. God's the only one that knows your heart completely. He knows it more than you could ever. So really realize what you're putting in your soul, the type of music you're listening to, because, I mean, for instance, you have anger issues, you're listening to death metal, that's what's going to come out of it. It's going to come out of with anger and things like that. And once again, been there, done that. So I know about that down that road too. I've heard recently that there's Christian death metal. There's a couple of bands out there, and I mean, I don't particularly listen to them. I've listened to their songs before, but if you can't understand them, in my opinion, then it's not honoring God unless you're looking at the lyrics right there and listening to them, and you know. And they could be singing scripture for all I know, but they're screaming it so loud that I can't understand it. So, I mean, my apologies to those bands, but, I mean, they're death metal bands, and whatever they, you know, whatever they're portraying, I don't know if it's God-honoring or not. So examine that music. I know I got on a little front of music and listening to it.
Also, if it's just sounding plain creepy, I'm with you. It just doesn't seem like honoring God when it's just so violent or creepy sounding to me. I know there's people probably would disagree, but I just don't see it as something good if it just sounds like that, like doesn't sound like harmonious and things. Also, earlier, I was just thinking, like, it's so easy to be idolatrous, too, because I remember even when I was, like, younger, especially when you're not a Christian, but, like, because I remember when I was younger, like, there's, like, a guy, like, I would go, like, he was, like, a DJ, and I was, like, kind of crushing on him. I was obsessed, so, like, I would go every weekend just to, like, because they had events at the radio station just to see him, and I was like, dang, that's, like, just for that, just in person, it's, like, so easy to do that kind of thing and be idolatrous and things. And that's when I wasn't Christian, and now, even being a Christian, it's so easy, too, to do that.
I mean, it is. You're right. It still is. Because you hear songs from your past. You're like, oh, I remember what I was doing whenever I heard that song. And
yeah.
Bad memories or good memories, whatever it brings up. If your heart has changed, if you're changed, then your attitude's going to change towards those songs. I mean, I hear songs now that I hear, I'm like, well, I didn't know that was in there. Wow.
Yeah.
When it freaks you out. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's like God is showing you. Look what you listen to. And he's showing me that. I mean, he does that all the time. Movies and TV, yeah, that's a whole dude ever. That could be a whole two-hour segment. If we can talk about that. But, I mean, this on the music front, God's shown me so much that, you know, because we are, I think we're creatures of habit on the worship part, on we know music. Music can move you and can get you in touch with different types of feelings. And, you know, being a Christian now, I find out that obviously you can't trust your feelings. You know, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So the fact of the matter is you can't trust your feelings, even though a song can bring you through all kinds of different feelings in your life and brings up memories, things like that. But now God's showing me songs. Look at what you listen to. And it's like I didn't even pay attention to some of the lyrics. I was listening to the song, but now I'm like, wow, it said that, it's mentioning that, it's talking, wow, it just talking about religion, you know, and it picks it out more, so.
Well, I remember, like, there's this one, I'm talking about movies, there's this one I watched when I was younger, it was called Stand By Me, and I thought it was just, like, it's coming at a story, I thought it was just, like, friendly, like, kid stuff. And then when I watched it again, I realized how much they cut so much on that movie.
Yeah.
Like, I had actually bought it, like, again, because I thought it was, like, the movie before, and then I was like, now I regret it. and like you said, with lyrics and things, like, you'll realize that, yeah, that certain things said different things, and you're like, what? I didn't know it talked about that, and like, even a recent song, they say something like Superman, and I found out on an urban legend, not a religion, urban dictionary, that the Superman reference that they were saying was a sexual reference. I was like, what? I thought they were talking about Superman. And the song was talking about something sexual. And I was like, so surprised. So it's time you gotta watch out, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, you know.
Talk about one thing. And talk about
you're
another.
Right. I mean, they are. They're talking about something else, and you have so much slang out there now that they're like, well, you know, he's talking about this, or that song don't mean that, and then you kind of hear, and he's like, well, yeah, it does mean it. And so many parents out there are letting their youth and their kids listen to music, and they don't even know what the music means, but they're like, oh, you know, I have music. The parents are just justifying it by saying, oh, I had music back then. I listened to it, and I know what it means, but I like the beat and everything, and they're just allowing it. But, I mean, there are some parents out there that watch and that are, and it's great. Praise God for you all out there watching what your kids are, or not only watching, but listening to and monitoring that.
Thanks to parents who will go through their stuff and even throw it away if they have to.
I don't think I'd want to resell it, or for that matter, it's legal to resell. I mean, the fact of giving it away or something, I don't think you'd almost have to destroy it. I mean, it's just like, it's probably a bad analogy, but it's just like if I got a book of the Quran or whatever, and I knew that the Bible, you know, because it's just blasphemy to say that to them that the Bible's superior to it. But if I know there's contradictions in it and it's a false book, I'm not going to say, well, I don't want to read it, so I'm going to give it to somebody else so they can read it.
No.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. What do you do with stuff like that? And obviously you pray about it and say, look, we've got to destroy this, whether it's music or a book or anything. It's got to be destroyed for the fact of, do you want someone else stumbling over it? I used to go in the library, my local library, and they had 10-cent books, and I found a couple books, one of them on Hindu and another one on Islam, and I went ahead and bought the books for 10 cents a piece so nobody else would buy them, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, but you have to do that. You see something like that, just jump on. If you got the money, the 10 cents or whatever, just do it. And so no one else would buy it, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play a recording. It's about 14 minutes. It's from ICR. It's called Created Gender, and they're a creation ministry. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and we're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Me, Melissa Chantel, and Guy Reynolds. And here goes ICR.
Did everything in life happen by chance, or was everything designed for a purpose? What about gender? Did it start evolving millions of years ago, or did God create male and female in the beginning? Stay tuned.
The Bible says that in the beginning, when God created his image in man, he says, male and female created he them.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. As creationists, we know that gender was no accident. In Genesis 1, verse 27, we're told, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Please join us for the next 15 minutes as we discuss God's purpose for gender in the family unit and explain why the existence of the different sexes in an evolutionary setting would not be advantageous to survival. It's strange to think that the chance development of animals and humans through evolution would yield two genders. And it's even stranger when you consider that these two genders are compatible with each other. Molecular biologist Dr. Kevin Anderson is director of Creation Research Society's Van Andel Research Center in Chino Valley, Arizona. He says if evolution were true, gender would not be necessary.
Well, I think when we're talking about evolution of gender, the first thing we need to consider is why you would even have two gender, because clearly in the evolution idea, you would have single cells as your first cellular systems, and there'd be no gender. It would just simply be these cells, similar to bacteria today, they would just simply divide. They'd be asexual. There would be no male-female. There'd be no necessity of any kind of sexual system for replication.
Because most bacteria reproduce asexually and quickly,
and can adapt to any environment. It would seem, evolutionarily speaking, that this would be the most efficient way to sustain life.
Why would evolution then waste time with all these other creatures that have now become extinct that we see throughout the fossil record? Why would evolution waste all this time and energy trying to develop creatures that aren't as adapt as bacteria? Because presumably evolution is supposed to be based upon survival, what is adapted the best, what survives the best, and bacteria is the best. Therefore, why would evolution give you anything else? Why is evolution not only moving away from the best, which is bacteria, but now introducing the concept of gender, which was requiring then sexual reproduction, which is a much less efficient, slower process?
Dr. David DeWitt, professor of biology at Liberty University in Virginia, agrees that in an evolutionary scenario, it wouldn't make sense for gender to have evolved.
According to the theory of evolution, all traits need to have some type of selective advantage for them to be maintained and overcome in a population. In the case of sexual reproduction, there's no explanation for how this could arise in the first place.
Dr. Anderson tells us that even well-known evolutionists can't understand the need for gender evolution.
Ernest Mayr even was a very famous evolutionist, just died here recently. He raised the question even that he could not explain why there was anything on this planet besides bacteria.
And Dr. DeWitt says the evolutionary attempts to explain the existence of gender just aren't acceptable.
Evolutionists have offered two explanations for the origin of different sexes in organisms. One, to increase genetic diversity, and the second, to repair defective genes. However, both of these are inadequate. First, increased genetic diversity is not necessarily a good thing. The environment is unlikely to change so much so quickly, so offspring shouldn't need to be radically different from their parents. And also, there are plenty of organisms that reproduce effectively asexually. And in regards to repairing defective genes, recent study in Arabidopsis showed that this plant was able to fix mutations. So this would be a much more effective means to fix defective genes than having different sexes of organisms. The fact that we have male and female genders points to the Creator. Creator who made them male and female, blessed them that they might reproduce after their kind. Evolution has no explanation for how the different sexes could arise or why there should only be two.
ICR President Dr. John Morris says, the biblical teaching of the creation of male and female in the Garden of Eden is the only logical explanation for the origin of gender.
You know, you might think if evolution were true and animals just acquired gender, why just two? Why not three or four or 20? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen just by natural processes. Why not more? The only view that really makes sense is that God designed it this way. He designed males and females and designed to propagate each kind through reproduction, many times through sexual reproduction. That's the only view that makes sense. The evolution view doesn't make sense.
But are there any facts that point to gender evolution? Dr. Anderson.
Absolutely no evidence, no mechanism of how you would say that a asexual, binary dividing, just cutting in half type cell would suddenly decide, I want to become a male or a female. And then, of course, you got to make sure that you have another cell deciding to do the same thing, otherwise you don't get a date Saturday night.
While evolution would have no need for gender, our Creator God had specific reasons for creating man and woman. Dr. Morris.
The Bible says that in the beginning, when God created his image in man, he says, male and female created he them. Something about male plus something about female together, that can adequately represent the image of God. Each one is incomplete without the other. Together, the male-female union can, even more than an individual can, reflect the image of God, I believe.
Dr. Anderson.
In a creationist model, that is by design. God said, I wanted humans, I wanted cows, I wanted fish, and therefore, to have them, I need to have a mechanism for them to divide, and sexual reproduction is the best way. And certainly God also uses in the human, he uses sexual reproduction as part of just the very essence of the family unit, the very essence of how we survive as a society, how we exist in Christ as a group. We have marriage of one man and one wife, one woman, one man. They then give children.
Dr. DeWitt points out that it's an amazing thing that a child, no matter what its gender, is a combination of both mother and father, and yet is a totally separate individual.
I will never forget when I saw my daughter for the first time. I remembered the verse from Genesis, "The two shall become one flesh." Here was this precious baby that was half me and half my wife, yet you couldn't distinguish which part was which. She was a new person, not me and not my wife, yet somehow she was a combination of us both and still something new. I've heard different explanations for what it means for the husband and wife to become one flesh, but I cannot help but think it also points to the development and birth of a child.
But what happens when God's design of gender and the family unit becomes distorted or perverted in some way? Dr. Anderson says when we biologically misuse our bodies, we go against creation and the very reason God created gender.
When you get into homosexuality, for example, that serves no purpose in God's creation. It serves no purpose in reproduction. It serves no purpose in the family unit, which God has designed as one man and one woman. There's no place in the Bible for sex outside of marriage, and there's no place in the Bible for any kind of marriage than between a man and a woman. And that's part of how God then has used sexual reproduction to define his will of what a family is.
Not only does homosexual behavior go against God's plan, it's also unnatural because we simply weren't created that way.
Sexual relations between same sex is, shall we say, inappropriate in that we're not built that way. God didn't make us that way. That's not how we're designed. So it involves activities that the Bible describes as perverse. It involves activities that the Bible just simply describes as those are abominations to God. And that, in many instances, because we weren't designed to be that. And that's all part of God's designing of sexual reproduction and what God had as his perfect design for sexual reproduction and for sexual activity.
But what about the claims that homosexuals are born this way and can't help who they are? Dr. Morris says if this were true, God would not have called this activity sin.
It's been pointed out that God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And there's no hint here that there's another gender, there's an in-between form. This idea of homosexual behavior, this is repugnant in God's eyes. He didn't create it that way. He created things male and female, and that's the way they are. Even if there's tendencies in certain areas, the Bible identifies homosexual behavior as sin. We must choose not to sin. And there's always a way to do things right. There's no temptation so great that we must succumb to it. There's always a way to escape, the Bible tells us.
And Dr. Morris says people who find themselves trapped in a homosexual lifestyle need to learn the truth of how God really created them.
This is a sensitive area today. I want to be careful. Many people get involved in these issues. They're recruited, they're lied to, they're deceived, they're taught they were born this way. And this is not true. They're born either male or female, and that's the way it is.
Besides claiming that homosexuality is the result of genetics, homosexual groups have also cited evolution as the cause of their behavior.
Even though people get involved for different reasons, whenever a leader of the homosexual movement tries to give a systematic defense of homosexual behavior, they always use evolution to do so. In fact, there's a whole movement among evolution these days called sociobiology, the idea of studying an animal group and seeing the different behaviors that these animals go through and apply it to humans. Well, after all, we're animals. We're just a higher animal. Let's apply animal behavior to human behavior. And we all know that certain animals do certain things to one another. And I doubt that these animals think they're accomplishing a homosexual act. Animals are not homosexuals. This is a choice, a sinful choice that some humans make, but they don't have to make it. Many times they're deceived into making such a choice, but the truth is that God created male and female, and it's best just to stick right there.
In this world, we're bombarded by evolutionary ideas that seem to creep into every aspect of our lives.
evolution philosophy strikes at the very being of who we really are and the way our God has created us with gender. Dr. Morris.
Isn't the Creator wonderful? He created male and female in His image and blessed humankind with that trait. As male and female together, we can adequately reflect His image. And then as the male and female come together, we're one flesh once again, and a picture of the union that we can have with Jesus Christ and with the Father. In His wisdom, He decided that this was the best way, and we need to submit to that and agree and thank Him for what He's done. The Bible identifies the church, Christian believers, as the bride of Christ. And isn't that an amazing picture that through our submission to Him, through our recognition that He has died for us, that He has paid the penalty for our sins so that we can have eternal life, we in essence are married to Him and will be one with Him throughout all eternity. Praise His name.
As our program comes to a close, we hope that you've been encouraged. It's our desire at ICR to show that the Bible can be trusted, both historically and scientifically, and to give facts that will build your faith. As Christians, we need to understand the scientific basis for our beliefs. We pray that this program will aid you in your discovery of science and the Bible. You know, most people aren't aware that today there are thousands of scientists that are convinced of the truth of biblical creation and not evolution. Our non-denominational ministry aims to restore and strengthen the Genesis foundations of the Christian faith. If you've enjoyed today's edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, why not visit us on the web to find out more about the work of ICR? The address is www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Let's catch up in Guy Room. That was ICR, it's a Creation Ministry, and they're talking about gender. And I was talking to D-Man in the chat room, and around here where I live, it's called Long Beach, California, and actually it's known for homosexuality next to San Francisco. There's Long Beach. Okay, Long Beach has a gay pride parade every year too, I think. And I was telling him that I went to a church, like it's right down the street. They call it Christ Church, and I would say that with quotations as Christ, because everything was fine. Like they're like doing like worship and stuff, and then I sounded good and stuff. And then I had picked up some stuff that they had there, and all of a sudden, a lady stands up to read the Bible, I guess like a pastor, and I was like, uh-oh. And then I was saying, and then she looked to me, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, like, she looked like she would be what I'd say a lesbian. It's just like she is more, not that everyone that's like that is, but she was like more dressed like a haircut, like a man and stuff like that. And then I had this little thing, this flyer that said what Jesus said about homosexuality. And I thought, oh, good, it's going to have some verses and stuff that I could put about it. And then I opened it up after I saw that lady standing up talking about God. And it said nothing. And it said, this is not a misprint. And I was like, how could they do that? That's such a lie. And even if they don't believe like anything in the New Testament, if they believe that this is God, God says in the Old Testament lots of times about homosexuality, about a man not lying with a man or a woman lying with a woman, and the lying means in that case sex, in case you don't know. And I was like, after that happened, I walked out of there. I was like, sleep, I'm here. And that was, and also this other time, I haven't given them gospel tracts yet, but I want to put it in their mailbox. There were these guys that were standing very close. Well, one was standing, one was sitting, and they're like in a position that usually a woman and a man would stand very intimately close. And I was like, oh no. Oh man. That's funny. So I gotta pray for those people and everybody else do that saved. So I thought that was funny. But like that I just got into that situation because they were talking about homosexuality on that ICR, that's why I bring that up. Not trying
to that'd be something we can. That's great about having, you know, being a gender and not DNA and things like that. You know,
yeah.
That's what the great part about using the law in the gospel is. Anytime I ever talk to a homosexual person, I don't ever mention that. You know, ever mention homosexuality or anything. They end up mentioning it to me. And you know, obviously, you're supposed to know that scriptures, not just in the Old Testament, but more in the New Testament, about how homosexuality is wrong in God's sight. And we obviously need to do it lovingly, but at the same time, use the law. Use the commandments, go through the commandments, and usually they'll bring it up to you. You don't even mention that. They have a worse problem than just their homosexuality. They're liars and thieves and blasphemous adulterers that don't honor God and covet and don't honor their parents. And so they've got a lot more to worry about than just the homosexuality, which it's an abomination to God, but at the same time, it's something that's right along with the lying and the stealing and all that. So.
And Dima says that Jesus gave the definition of marriage between like one man and one woman, like Adam and Eve in the beginning.
Jesus did mention he mentioned Genesis chapter 2 and 3. So.
And it's funny because I think I said this a long time ago, but one time someone was doing a gospel tract. They gave a woman a gospel tract, and the lady goes up to him and she says, take this gospel tract away from me. And because, like, she read the part that brought it up was the part about lust, and the lust one doesn't even say that it has to be homosexual. It just says lust. For another man or another woman, basically, and he like talked to her more about it and the gospel, the law and the gospel, and then she said, "You're not gonna take this gospel tract away from me." He's like, "No." So she got convicted from the gospel tract that said that talked just about lust, and it wasn't even saying homosexual.
All right, so we've got about 3 minutes left to say our goodbyes, and we'll end with the apologetics.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And like you said, we're going to end with the apologetics song. What's the name of it?
The apologetics song. First of all, we're on 2 to 4 Pacific Standard Time and 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time every Sunday evening. So join us.
Look at truthbetoldradio.com too for all of our information. That's our email address and stuff, and Twitter and Facebook. And also, remember, guys, show is tomorrow. What time is it?
It's Eastern time. It's 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern time. It's called Truth Decay, and also, I think it's 2:30 to 3:30 Pacific Standard Time tomorrow night. So join me on blogtalkradio.com. Just search Truth Decay. And you can also pick us up on iTunes. Do more teaching than a lot of stuff. My buddy Shannon Arnett's going to start his evidence series, the historical account of Jesus Christ on this earth. So don't miss it tomorrow on Truth Decay. This song is about, I can't remember the... Well, go ahead. You need to say something. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say real quick. Thank you for listening. And you can catch us on the archive of Blog Talk Radio, and also on iTunes. We're free at truthbetoldradio.com. And now, guys, going to take us out with the apologetics song.
Okay, this is, I can't remember. I think the song is, I can't remember what the parody's name is, but the song is called Stupid Stronghold. It's about the stronghold that the devil has on us in the world, and it goes through different stuff in it. So listen to the lyrics. This is Apologetics on Truth Be Told Radio. We'll see you next week. God bless and stay faithful. If you're not saved, please, today, you don't have another, you know, I have another moment, please repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ today. That's the most important thing, is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless
you. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Take a look at our world, friend, and see the news at 10 o'clock. When I'm watching the world's trends, I never cease to get a shock. Been some guys with some lassos visiting a mountain whose back broke. But someone else found true love again. Hugh Hefner says he has three new girlfriends. And the networks now are so bold that Snoop will probably get his own show. And I'm afraid I might tune in, find Donald Trump and Rosie fighting Hulk Hogan. I'm used to ludicrous but landscapes, man, I'm as filthy Justin Timberlake. And that a Conrad guy don't know what love is. These kids developing a fan base, meeting total strangers out of my space. I know that's fun, but if I had a new daughter or son, I would still not let him play with a gun. Take a look at our world, friend, and see the news at 10 o'clock. When I'm watching the world trend, I never cease to get a shock. Take a look at our world, friend, even though you wanna cock. Watch what's on your doorstep, you better go and get a lock. Wild scenes in Borat, and it's kind of hard to ignore that. But that Nativity movie they made, it was well done. Though the girl you played, the virgin, wasn't one. And I know you've heard some bad talk about those girls with pussycat dolls. But they're trying to fix the unemployment rate, find themselves, find some ladies they can train. I know Da Vinci Code is jive, though it seems as if America don't think so. If you ain't up on that, then go get pumping. Ain't gonna read the family Bibles, but I know they've seen the Family Guy though. And I've told them before, they ought to know there's a wolf pack at the door. They should be practicing the art of war, drawing swords, but dirty old men fight it for not one. We got guys probably go see Saw 5, say it wasn't even scary. Man, I'm serious. We got sources and systems and sports infested with guys who cheat to try and grow strong. We got the crudest gags I've ever heard. I've seen comedians go on a full hour.
I'm not saying nice words.
And we could still perish any moment. And yet we joke about the future like it's Dave and Conan. Call me dumb, call me nuts, call me chump. So what? You better shout it, cause
everyone is gonna sleep and this is why I'm hot about it.
Take a look at our world, friend. And see the news at 10 o'clock. When I'm watching the world's trend, I never seem to get a shot.